M. Coming up, as Ned said, we'll be hearing from Chris Andre with Air Cascadia, followed by Flashpoints at 10:15. And after that, at 11, Radio Zine with Lisa Loving. And at 11:30, we'll hear from Jasmine Zimmer Stuckey and Eric Wallace, respectively community organizer, Columbia River Keeper, and film producer. And they're talking about upcoming screenings of Momenta, a documentary about coal export. Thank you, all UK Boo members, for your generous support for community radio. You'll have an opportunity to continue that tradition coming up soon. And for folks who have not yet made that move, you can do so right now. Beat the rush at kboo.fm. Click where it says donate today. Stay tuned.
KBOO is a proud co-sponsor of the 2014 Earth Day celebration, Saturday, April 26th, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at Kenton Park on North Brandon and North Kilpatrick Streets in Portland.
The Earth Day 2014 theme, Reverse Migration, will focus on local culture and businesses. Over 100 sustainable businesses and organizations, including KBOO Community Radio, will participate in this event.
This celebration will also feature lots of live music and entertainment. Celebrate our planet at the 2014 Earth Day celebration, Saturday, April 26th, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at Kenton Park. More information on this event can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Cascadia. Today is Friday, April 25th, 2014, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Headlines, we have plenty of those, this being the end of the week, the day when nothing happens that we're ever actually told about, but when there's plenty in the works. In fact, there's quite a lot in the old pipeline, some of which exploded on Wednesday. An explosion and fired a natural gas processing plant in southwestern Wyoming, forced the evacuation of the small town of Opal, not far from Salt Lake City. No one was injured in the incident at the facility, but you know what? It's a small town. It's in a remote area. And the fact that no one was injured in no way forgives or in any way excuses the managers of the pipeline and the people in a position of making decisions regarding the fate of the environment and the fate of people, the fate of small towns, the fate of everything that these lines run through. Opal has approximately 95 residents, so it wasn't difficult to evacuate everybody as a precaution. Nonetheless, yesterday Oregon was forced to admit that the ferocious rhetoric touting expertise in providing health care to all was in the end a false promise. Oh, sure, at one point in time the state was getting many of its citizens to the doctor. But that was before the 100% over-the-top giveaway to the private sector had been accomplished. Now, there's no turning back. The state that was once expected to be a national leader in the federal healthcare overall move to become the first state to dump its online healthcare exchange, which nobody would use. Even ringing up a phone line, a supposed help phone line, then they tell you, "Well, did you sign up online?" And you tell them, after expressing yourself, you get the message across. No, in fact, you didn't bother. And they said, "No, I wouldn't either." No one right from the get-go had any expectation that this was going to work. Now we've got, after many departures under various forms of official euphemism, we have a top cover Oregon official, Alex Petit, who apparently now is in the catbird seat. He's the official spokesmodel for the healthcare program. But again, just saying, this is nothing but the health insurance industry, which now has everybody in the country by the short and curlies, and it will be less than a year, I predict, before we start to see rates getting jacked through the ceiling because we're a captive audience being herded off to the slaughter. So Petit says that the state site still isn't fully functional, and they're switching to the federal. Said that switching to the federal system would cost $4 million to $6 million. Well, you know, it's not a lot of money, but for those who are poor, those who don't have any kind of medical care whatsoever, and are perhaps very, very sick, that's a lot of money. We're pouring money down a hole here, as everyone knows. It's been just over a year and a half since the Coquille Indian tribe announced plans to build and open a casino in Medford. The idea immediately attracted serious backlash from the neighboring Cow Creek Band of the Umpqua tribe. The tribe actually began writing a series of letters to Coquille's opposing their plan. In the past, the tribe has said that they are not looking to take away business from the Cow Creek, but to better the economy and their tribe. Indeed. But again, these are Indigenous people. This is First Nations we're talking about here. And the fact that their land, the best of their land, has been stolen, compromised, co-opted, sold off to timber industries. If there's trees on it, sold off to huge ranchers. If there's grazing land, whatever there is to be taken and exploited, that's been well taken and well exploited for hundreds of years is now. Leaving what? A casino. It's the shining casino on the hill. I doubt very, very much if any Indigenous peoples or any of the people who own the land, and they still do own it, doesn't matter what you build on it, it doesn't matter what kind of legislation is passed, we're still interlopers. We don't belong here. This is not ours. So what do the tribes get? They get to squabble over casinos. And a Vancouver, Washington grain terminal and the union said that they'll be still bargaining in hopes of resolving the long-running contract dispute. And many here in this part of the world, looking back over the history of labor on the West Coast, cannot help but I say, well, good on you to the unions for hanging in there and not caving as they have in so many other places across the country. Yeah, but nonetheless, this is a singularly unequal matchup. According to the Columbian, the United Grain Corporation, the Port of Vancouver, and the International Longshore and Warehouse Union are each disputing the National Labor Relations Board allegations of unfair labor practices. The National Labor Relations Board is so thoroughly and utterly corrupted that it barely justifies its existence. And watching the paths, the cloud chamber tracks through that board, where the money flows, is a fascinating game. The ILWU spokeswoman Jennifer Sargent, a very difficult person to track down, by the way, said this week that contract negotiations do continue. Pacific Northwest Grain Handlers Association says that negotiations are scheduled, and as long as they keep talking, I suppose, it's certainly better than getting thrown under the bus. Spokane car theft suspect. This is a get this. Meanwhile, and finally, story. Car theft suspect doubles back. He's on foot, pursued by the police. He steals the deputy's patrol car. Deputy's chasing him. And he's very quickly picked up, but nonetheless, you have to wonder. It's a good thing that we're paying police well, so that they are able to better their own minds. And it's so good that we only hire officers who are intellectually, mentally capable of understanding situations that they might find themselves in, such as having suspects that they're pursuing on foot, run around in a circle and steal a car. The patrol car was found abandoned a short time later, just a few blocks away. Officials say its shotgun and AR-15 rifle were still inside. Deputies soon caught up with the guy. And the explanation, Sheriff Ozzie Nisbet says that the county's patrol cars are not equipped with GPS tracking devices, but will be starting in January. So Siri will be going for a ride along, as I understand it. And a federal judge yesterday reluctantly struck down New York's limits on donations. This affects all of us, by the way, across the country. Limits on donations to independent political action committees, that's PACs, of course, as unconstitutional, potentially ushering in yet a new era on top of era on top of era of super PAC in state campaigns there. District Judge Paul Crotty said, and Google that name because he's involved in other dubious decisions, said that the statutes could not survive First Amendment scrutiny in light of recent landmark Supreme Court decisions that have lessened restrictions on big money political donors. He noted that personally, he disagrees with the High Court. Well, that's one thing, isn't it? And the White House is considering small steps in the near term to ease the threat of deportation for some people who are in the country without the right pieces of paper. But advocates, and you know, you have to wonder too, getting your hands on the right pieces of paper, in many cases does not guarantee that one is safe and sound stateside. Furthermore, for some people, it is a lot easier to get a hold of the paper. It's a lot easier to get into the country than it is for others. Many, many people who served and however ignoble our adventures in Iraq and Afghanistan are, nonetheless, there were Iraqis and Afghan translators and support staff who are in grave danger, many of them no longer among the living, who would very much like to get a hold of some of those pieces of paper and get themselves and their families to safe ground. Their chances are far, far fainter than many others. And with legislation, though, to reform U.S. immigration policy still stalled in where else? Congress. Obama is under some pressure right now from the immigrant community to take executive action to curb the rate of deportation, which he himself, of course, is responsible for. It's at record levels during this presidency. And an Arkansas judge, finally, declared the state's new voter identification law unconstitutional. This just yesterday, since it stipulates that voters must meet an additional requirement before casting a ballot. Nearly 3 dozen U.S. states have voter identification measures, according to the National Conference. The laws are part of a nationwide effort at the state level aimed at, preventing voter fraud. Voter fraud? We can't even get people to go to the polls. I think that many states will welcome voter fraud just because it would let them know that people are actually taking the trouble to show up or to fill out the ballot. Critics say that they hinder low-income and minority voters and are challenging the laws in several state courts. Well, low income and minority voters, the fact that they bother vote, that anyone bothers voting at all, given what we wind up with in, as a form of leadership and legislation, is extraordinary. These are people that got voted in the first place. Is anybody? You need to take a test to drive a car. You need to fill out umpteen million papers just to become a citizen of the country. You can't open a food cart without filling out another big stack of paperwork. But you know what? You can run for public office and get yourself elected to pretty much any level you want. Now, Arkansas, Kentucky, we've got some people in high office there who are may, to speak carefully here, may not be necessarily the most qualified or gifted intellectually to be trusted in positions of power. It's extraordinary. Weather very briefly, the weekend, chance of showers likely to get some thunderstorms today. Not too windy, high of 59 for today, tonight. Wet, possible thunderstorms, and of course showers. Lows around 39 for tomorrow. This is a big celebration for Earth Day. We could get some rain. Highs around 59 once again. And we're going to have some windy weather coming in on Saturday night. Winds 15, gusting up to 24, driving rain, lows around 45 for Sunday, again in overcast and drizzly, highs near 58 and breezy. For Sunday night, there's a chance of showers still lingering, overcast skies, and lows around 43, bringing us full circle to Monday morning. This has been Air Cascadia for Friday, April 25th, 2014. Sam Parrish engineered the show today. Thanks for that, Sam. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.